Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and joining us every Monday at this time, we have Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office Chief Deputy Shane Tucker. Chief, welcome back to the show, sir.
Well, good morning, Andrew.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. You guys have some news. You made an arrest in connection with Cynthia Hoover, right?
We certainly did. You know, what a sad case this was. Ms. Hoover went missing in March of this year. Her family hadn't seen her in quite some time and became concerned when her vehicle was abandoned on I-10. Last week, we made an arrest in that case. We arrested Johnny Edward Malisham for murder of Ms. Hoover. Her body was recovered in his backyard.
This is, when I was reading some of the accounts of this and how the information came to you, I mean, it's a tragedy with her, but it's also just a crazy story involving all these different women that he tried to get to help him, I guess, get rid of the body allegedly. And I mean, just can you maybe just tell people how the tip came to you guys?
Well, I don't want to get into anything real specific, as the case is still ongoing from a fact gathering standpoint. But we did get some information from a confidential source. That the body was there, and it was upon that information that we began an investigation, which ultimately led to discovering and recovering the body.
And this is another one of those examples of, you know, there's always somebody who knows something. And if those people would just come forward, you guys would be able to figure out who did stuff, and you'd be able to punish them for what they've done, right?
Indeed. You know, very rarely are people able to keep a secret that big and that heavy for very long.
Absolutely.
Fortunately, that's what happened.
You guys also obviously did a press conference last week related to two things, the bank robbery at Synovus with the taxi cab getaway. It's still amazing to me. Thanks for the help, criminal. But also you had a much more serious story involving a couple of women, one of whom wound up getting killed. And it was ruled to be a lawful self-defense case for him. But the question that I had here when I first read the details of this story is the girls at the time, teenagers, both now one's an adult and she's being charged as an adult. He was apparently intending to fool around with them. And it immediately raised for me the question of, well, if the one woman is being charged with felony murder because she was engaged in a felony connected with a death, wouldn't he also have been charged in connection with the underage sex intent in connection with the death? Can you maybe clarify why that wouldn't be a charge?
Let's do this, Andrew. Let me speak in hypotheticals. And you know, I don't want to discuss anything specific about that particular case. You know, what I will tell you as it relates to that case, the male subject in that case was 18 years of age, 18 or 19.
Okay.
It would not have been a felony crime for him to meet a 16 or 17-year-old girl for sex.
Okay.
Now, having said that and stepping over into a hypothetical, because I don't know that that applies in this particular case or not, and I don't really want to get off into that, to meet somebody online, even for the purposes of having an intimate relationship, in and of itself is not a crime. Other factors would have to come into play.
Okay.
The person would have had to been identified as a juvenile, and there would have had to have been some kind of conversation or evidence that that was his intent. And I don't know that that was a part of that.
And again, I mean, I know he was the victim, essentially, or the attempted victim in this situation, but if he's only 18 and a gun was used to defend himself, it seems like that would also be a problem, unless there's some circumstance here that I don't understand.
There is, and again, because there is an active prosecution, I don't want to get into real specifics, but the firearm that was used was not his.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Well, see, that's why I asked, because these are the kind of questions that people who kind of understand the law would think about this case and would maybe wonder, and so that's helpful to clarify.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate that. You guys have kind of big news. You're rolling out body cameras this week, right?
We are super excited about this. You know, body cameras is something we worked on for a long time. We've wanted to get into that game, and the time is just right. So this week, where we're actually starting our familiarization with the equipment that we have. So I anticipate that we're gonna see those body cameras on the street this summer.
Great. So you're starting to train with them, starting to get the equipment. And, you know, people think it's easy. Just put the camera on and go. Well, it's like...
Not just point and click.
Right. And like anything else with law enforcement, you want to do it wisely, and you don't want to discover the problems along the way. You want to prevent them by good training ahead of time. And there's enough body of practice here that you can do that smartly, right?
Correct. And, you know, to that point, everything that we do, particularly when it comes to collection of evidence and things that the body cameras are going to be used for, it has to be done in a very regulated manner, a very consistent manner. We can't just go out and haphazardly, you know, install these things into our patrol operations. It has to be done by policy and by statute. So that's why we want a smooth rollout, as smooth as possible.
And the last thing, we're talking to Chief Deputy Shane Tucker, Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office. You had Law Enforcement Appreciation Week and a couple of promotions, at least in corrections, right?
Oh, we sure did. As a matter of fact, we had several promotions. Six of our detention deputies were promoted to sergeant, and two of our detention sergeants were promoted to lieutenant. All just a great, great cadre of detention professionals. We're super proud of them.
Outstanding. We love to see that happening. All right, Shane Tucker, he is the chief deputy at the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office. Chief, always a pleasure. Thanks for what you do. You know, every week is Law Enforcement Week here at News Radio, at least from my perspective it is. So, but I certainly appreciate the work that you folks do, and please pass it along to your men and women.
Thank you, Andrew. Good talking to you. We'll talk to you soon.
Yesterday was the worst clash in this 7-day conflict. The last one of a similar sort in 2014 lasted 6 weeks. How much longer are these hostilities going to continue?
Well, we hope that it doesn't continue very long, but we were attacked by Hamas on our National Day, Jerusalem Day, attacks, unprovoked attacks on Jerusalem, and then thousands of rockets and missiles on our cities. And I think any country has to defend itself. It has a natural right of self-defense. We'll do whatever it takes to restore order and quiet and on the security of our people and deterrence. We're trying to degrade Hamas's terrorist abilities and to degrade their will to do this again. So it'll take some time. I hope it won't take long, but it's not immediate.
Yeah, Benjamin Netanyahu talking with CBS on Face the Nation and talking about, for example, the destroying of this building in which the AP had their headquarters. And they're saying, look, it was a Hamas headquarters, too. And, you know, the AP reporters, you know, oh, we were lucky to get out. No, we took a lot of specific pains to make sure that the civilians got out of there safely.
Well, we pass it through the intelligence services to our people, to those people. Why do you think we brought down that building? The interesting thing is, I would say that, you know, all the journalists, one of the, I think, AP journalists said, we were lucky to get out. No, you weren't lucky to get out. It wasn't luck. It's because we took special pains to call people in those buildings to make sure that the premises were vacated, and that's why we brought down that building.
If there was luck involved, the luck was that you were the target of an impending Israeli attack as opposed to the target of an impending Hamas attack. You know, Hamas doesn't call people ahead of time, say, get out of the building, we're about to blow it up. The Israelis do, because they're trying to cut down on civilian casualties. Again and again and again and again and again, that's what they do. Whereas Hamas, if they kill civilians, that's bonus points. That's the point. Terror is the point. They celebrate. And listen, it's a win-win from their perspective, because they kill the civilians, if they do, and that wins for them terrorism. And then Israel reacts and kills their people, and then they get international support for being victims of Israeli aggression, falsely narrated. Or they kill civilians because they're hiding among civilians, and all the time they do this, human shields. And that's good for them, too, because that looks like international support, and people get outraged at the Israelis for killing civilians or destroying an AP headquarters. I mean, it's just... Oh, man, I'm not an expert in Israel. I don't pretend to be. I'll tell you the things I know and the things I don't know. I know a fair bit. I've only been one time. And I will tell you what I am amazed by is the level of restraint that the Israelis use. Again and again and again and again and again. You say, Andrew, but they do all this stuff. Yeah, but think of what they could do. Think of how they would behave if they were like any of the other malicious actors on the world stage. The restraint, the efforts at peace, the willingness to get along even with their enemies to make peace. It's just the Temple Mount alone, having a Muslim mosque on the Temple Mount at Al-Aqsa that Jews don't get to go to. The holiest site in all three major world religions, and only the Muslims get to go there in the middle of Jerusalem. It's an amazing thing what the Jews do in Israel. 824 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Doesn't mean they're always right, but I am going to side with them on principle most of the time until you give me really good evidence not to. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
For the first time in more than a year, many Americans are starting their week minus their face mask.
With only 37% of Americans fully vaccinated, not everyone is sure where and when masks should remain on.
I'm really confused.
At least 20 states still have a mask mandate for now. And even where they don't, cities, businesses, and private institutions can make their own mask policies.
That's NBC's Vicky Nguyen. The CDC announced just last week that fully vaccinated Americans can skip the mask in almost all outdoor and indoor settings.
All right, Mark. They say it's confusing. I've been vaccinated. Do I need to wear a mask? According to the CDC.
Only if a place you're going to requires it.
And if I haven't been vaccinated, do I need to wear a mask?
You should. Yes.
How is this confusing?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm confused.
All right, fair enough. And kids who haven't been vaccinated, the CDC says, at least in the middle and high school level, they should probably wear a mask because they haven't been vaccinated, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but people say it's confusing. Go ahead, sir.
Today marks the pushed back deadline to file your federal income taxes. If you're still not ready, though, you can file for an extension. IRS.gov, you can automatically get it that six-month extension. Getting vaccinated against COVID coming with a major perk for NASCAR fans over the weekend. Those who got vaccinated or tested for coronavirus at Talladega on Saturday offered the chance to drive their own car or truck for two laps around the track, following a pace car at highway speed.
I would just be angry driving my own car.
I want to drive one of those.
I mean, I'm, you know, in my Civic, I'm getting like maybe what, 105? Maybe.
Maybe.
Give me a real car to drive. Something I can get hurt in. All right, Mark, thanks for the update. 826, Scenic Hills Country Club presents Folds of Honor Patriot Day Golf Tournament on Sunday, May 30th. Join them for a full day of fun. Proceeds support the mission of Folds of Hope Foundation, educational scholarships to children and spouses of America's fallen severely wounded soldiers. ScenicHills.com for team and single round information or 476-0380, and there are corporate sponsorships available. Pensacola Habitat for Humanity brings people together to build homes, communities, and hope. Building forever homes, strengthening relationships, restoring communities. Learn more at PensacolaHabitat.org. Pensacon is coming this Friday. Ed Asner, Patrick Warburton, A Lost Reunion. That's this Friday. Full lineup at Pensacon.com. We'll be giving tickets away all this week. And we have the Five Flags Sertoma hosting the first cornhole tournament Saturday, May 2nd at the Escambia County Equestrian Center. More information at newsradio923.com. So we've got the Cervantes road diet is well underway, and supposedly today, although the FDOT official release says the week of, it's going to go down to 30 miles an hour. So supposedly today, or maybe sometime this week, Cervantes from Dominguez over to A is going to be 30 miles an hour. Also, three sides almost done on the I-110 water tower. We've got pictures up on our Facebook page and a video of the Cervantes improvements if you want to see it at News Radio 92.3. Mark.
Your money now. The stock market's open. The Dow is down 27 points, 34,355. The NASDAQ down 67 at 13,359. The S&P down about 9 points at 41.65. Gas prices at their highest in nearly a decade, demand up as the economy attempts to emerge from the pandemic. That, coupled with a five-day cyber attack shutdown of a major pipeline, has sent prices up. A gallon of regular unleaded up an average of 18 cents in the past month. AT&T spinning off Warner Media, combining it with Discovery. The deal announced this morning, designed to strengthen the combined company against streaming heavyweights Netflix and Disney by combining HBO Max and Discovery Plus. It's tax day. Today marks the pushed back deadline to file your taxes. In mid-March, the IRS decided to push back the deadline to today because of the ongoing pandemic. Our next news at 9 with breaking news anytime. I'm Mark Jacobs.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot.
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
All right, simple question for the day, and I will tell you, we have a live on-air event happening at the end of this segment. I have made a pie. I have made a strawberry rhubarb pie. And yes, you can buy rhubarb in Pensacola right now. Publix has it if you ask. Other places have it. It's a little more expensive. But you got to ask. They got to go in the back and cut it for you. And they will. They will. So I've made a strawberry rhubarb pie, which both Mark Jacobs, unbelievably, and Davis Allen have not. Well, Davis has had it one time and didn't like it.
It was apparently done wrong is what my understanding was.
We'll fix that. We'll fix that in a few minutes. And Mark Jacobs is going to try it for the first time. I've already had Karina from our sister station, Cat Country 98.7. She says it's fantastic. Durr. But that will come at the end of the segment. The question for now throughout the segment is, it's real simple. What's your favorite pie? That's it. This is just happy day. It's Monday. Let's be happy on a Monday. Let's talk about what's your favorite pie. 437-1620. Now, Davis, I won't pre-expect you to say strawberry rhubarb at the end of the segment. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. But putting that aside, you got a favorite pie?
Well, I love pie. And sometimes it's hard because you'll eat something and you're like, oh, this is my favorite pie. Then the next week you have something new and it's, oh, now this is my favorite pie.
It's my favorite pie today.
If you were to tell me, Davis, man, you can only have one pie for the rest of your life, which one's it going to be? Go. I mean, just a good old classic grandma's apple pie.
Apple pie with what on the top?
Oh, most definitely.
Crust, lattice, crumbles. What are you doing on top of that pie?
Oh, crumbles. If I could have, in my perfect world, crumbles.
Okay.
Like an apple cinnamon crumble with some ice cream, by the way. Some vanilla ice cream.
So a crumble is great. No objection. It's not what I make. I make a double crust, but so that's fair enough. That's good enough. But it has to be homemade, right? You're not buying this out of the store.
I mean,
you should never eat an apple pie from the store. Sorry, all you bakers at the store, but no, not ever, not one time ever.
In my perfect world, I would prefer it homemade, but I will have it store-bought.
Store-bought crust is nasty. Store-bought fillings is also nasty. No. I'm sorry. Even at the best places, I'm sorry, no.
See, homemade pie, in my opinion.
Mark is losing his mind over here. Go on, Mark. What do you want to add? Go on. Put them on. Mark?
Has to be homemade.
Thank you.
Lemon meringue.
Okay. All right. Lemon meringue is
and
fine.
And not the jelly like.
I see where your taste palate's at. Okay.
Not the jelly filling.
I see where you're at. It's got to be a strong tart flavor.
Got to be the condensed milk and the.
Are you a key lime guy? Milk. Also.
Not as much.
What about coconut cream? You go cook.
Like that too.
No tang in that, but so good. 437-1620. Somebody here says, I believe it's peach. They've got it in all caps three times. Peach, 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 hands down the bomb. peach pie is good. Once again, got to be made with fresh peaches. Got to be made with nice, firm fresh peaches. None of this soggy nonsense. You got to be able to individually distinguish the peach slice in the pie. Otherwise, it's done wrong. 437-1620. pecan pie, not pecan pie, they said. I'll go with you on that. Pecan pie is fantastic. I love a good pecan pie. I don't care how you pronounce it. Any way you want. We got, the pecan place here. No big deal. Fried peach pie. Fried peach. What is that? Pardon my ignorance. This is why I love doing this, because I always run across something that I do not know. 437-1620. 437-1620. Somebody else says a lemon meringue pie. I'm not a big fan of meringue. I mean, it's fine. It's fine. It's too much of a pain to make. And doesn't have all that much flavor to it. It's just, it's kind of a, you know, you got to cut through it with a knife if it's made. Anyway, so coconut cream with the cream top instead of the meringue top is my own preference. Apple pie, yes, fantastic. Now, this is going to go deep in the memory banks for some of you. I don't know if you'll remember this. Davis, I thought do we have a call on the pie?
We don't, but they did say that the wife's favorite is cherry, husband's favorite is pumpkin.
Okay. Now, pumpkin is an interesting one. Pumpkin, you can go store-bought or homemade. Pumpkin is the rare pie where even the frozen is just about as good as homemade. It's somehow or other, they've managed to get that one right. On the other hand, cherry, never in the store, never in the frozen. And I'm telling you, if you've never had a homemade cherry pie, like with fresh, ripe, it's not even fair to call them both cherry pies, honestly. It's just completely distinct. 437-1620, somebody here says, cherry pie with whipped cream on top. Oh, that's a whole other topic, though, toppings. We can go, is it whipped cream? Is it ice cream? That's a separate topic for a different day. So the one I tease you with a little bit is that digging in the archives a little bit. For those of you who remember Baker's Square or Poppin' Fresh Pies way back in the day, French silk. Oh, French silk at Baker's. Oh, this is just a little weak in the knees thinking about it. So good. Or even, and this is like way out on the only a few people will remember this, Bavarian cream French silk at Baker's Square. This is like 30 years into the archives, though. I was just probably from your Midwestern people. Anyway. All right. So, Davis, I promised him an experiment. Ready for the experiment? Mark, are you ready for the experiment? I have equipped you both with homemade, made over the weekend, strawberry rhubarb pie with Andrew's famous crust. Now, it's not fresh out of the oven. There's always a bit of a lag. But okay, Davis, let's have... Oh, hang on. I gotta run my video. I keep forgetting. I'm not this multimedia person.
And I had to make sure I grabbed the perfect first bite. So here
perfect
we go.
Perfect first bite. Davis is eating it in the studio, live on the air. Strawberry rhubarb pie. My mom's favorite pie. You better, and she's not with us anymore, so you better not dismiss it. What do you got?
Andrew, that's delicious. That is delicious.
All right.
I'm a big fan. I'm going to keep eating this.
All right, Mark, I cannot see you through the glass. You over there? Go on. All right.
Yeah, I'm here. I've already tried the crust, and the crust is fabulous.
Thank you so much. Even better fresh out of the oven, I'll tell you. It's crispier and flakier. I cannot shoot you through the, we got these devices. Oh, there we go. There's a little angle on you. Thumb up.
That's good.
That's good stuff.
Thank you. Yeah. Jenna, sorry, I don't love you enough. Jenna's here in studio with us. Davis is maybe going to save her a little piece of it. So have we converted you, Davis? Are you now a pro strawberry rhubarb?
I will be somewhat nice. If you go grab a fork, you may steal a bite of this. It is fantastic. I want to finish it, though.
But I do want to warn you. I've ruined you now because if you go like try to get it at like a store or something.
And that's what I've been told is it's hard to find a good rhubarb pie, strawberry rhubarb pie.
It's very easy to make. You just do a couple of cups of rhubarb chopped up small, a couple of cups of strawberries chopped up, and a big old pile of sugar and then some butter. That's it. It's easy. It's not hard to make. But it's hard to make right for some reason. 8:45. What was that,
that's
Mark?
Good stuff. That's all I needed to say.
I'll take it. I get no time.
Dr. Walensky, can you state flatly to the American people that pressure had nothing to do with the abrupt shift in the CDC guidelines?
Yes, I can. I can tell you it certainly would have been easier if the science had evolved a week earlier and I didn't have to go to Congress making those statements, but I'm delivering the science as the science is delivered to the medical journals. And, it evolved over this last week. The cases came down over this last 2 weeks. And so I delivered it as soon as I can when we had that information available.
Yeah, this, again, I don't know why this is so surprising to people. I keep seeing all these headlines online and on the TV. Mass guidance is confusing to people. It's not. It's not confusing. If you have been vaccinated both times, take the mask off wherever you are. If you haven't been vaccinated, keep the mask on. That's it. This is not confusing. It was confusing before. Like before when it was, well, if it's a day of the week that has two N's in it and you're inside with a group of three people from four or less total house. I mean, before it was crazy. Now it's very simple. Well, it keeps changing. Aw, Oh, no, it's just simple now. So anyway, no, it's really exactly obvious. And, you know, well, what about schools at the end of the year? Well, kids haven't been vaccinated, right? So wear a mask. That's what their guidance is. Now, you can have a political conversation, and we should, about, you know, what's the prudent thing to have kids do, given that they're not particularly vulnerable to the disease. Although junior high and high schoolers are more so like young adults, 20s and 30s, to some degree vulnerable. Okay, but, you know, what should you be doing in the classroom when you have low prevalence in a community like here in Santa Rosa in Escambia County? Well, that's a political question or a situational question. But the general guidance from the CDC is very straightforward. If you've been vaccinated, no mask. If you haven't been vaccinated, mask. Now, if we can get the president to do that, to take his mask off, that'll be great. So then the question is, and by the way, this is a good question. What about for the whole society? If we've got a low number of people that have actually been vaccinated total, then why are we going to, because it's tough to be sure people have been vaccinated, right? Now you've got the enforcement question of making sure that when people are not wearing a mask, they haven't been vaccinated, and becoming like the vaccine police sort of thing. So Chris Wallace asks the CDC director about this.
Almost two-thirds of Americans are still not fully vaccinated. If people who aren't fully vaccinated start taking off their masks along with the people who are fully vaccinated, aren't we going to see a spike in new cases? And aren't you, in a sense, relying on an unrealistic honor system?
We are still vaccinating somewhere between 1.5 and 2 million people a day. And so every day, more and more people are getting vaccinated. The honor system is to be honest with yourself.
Okay. It's a good question. If you start telling everybody to take their masks off, they've been vaccinated, the unvaccinated people will also take their masks off. They already took them off, by the way. You have more infections because of the unmasked people taking their... Yes, true. She answered this all wrong. I'm sorry, she did. She got this one all backwards. First of all, yes, it's true. If people haven't been vaccinated and they take their masks off because the CDC relaxed the guidance, yes, that's a problem. That doesn't mean that you change the guidance, because then you get accused of playing politics in situations rather than the science. So, okay, you can't win on that. But the other answer she gives, we're vaccinated, you know, 1.5 to 2 million people a day. Ooh, not accurate. Total vaccine shots, yes. First shots, that's the key, no. And that's the whole point, as I've been telling you for a couple of weeks now. That number used to peak right around 2 million a day. First shots. Lots of people getting vaccinated. Now, it's right around 700,000 a day. So we are way down in the number of people getting their first shot. And that's why it is a realistic concern. If people stop getting new vaccines, and if people take off their masks, do we not run a risk of having... Yeah, there is a risk. But at this point, not much of one, because we got a lot of people vaccinated, and even the first dose gives you a fair amount of protection. 437-1620, 437-1620. And what about guidance in schools?
Our school guidance to complete this school year will not change, and we'll be working on school guidance for the fall.
Yeah, nothing to change now, and we'll tell you soon what's going to go on. The situations, like on airplanes and whatnot, a lot of this stuff they're going to tell you later on, which is fine. No big deal. You don't have to rush into it. 8:54, time for a quick shot of sports with Davis Allen.
Well, the Pensacola Ice Flyers, it's always good to have a champion back in Pensacola as they won the SPHL Championship Series the whole season, as a matter of fact. So they're champions. Took down Macon in a clean sweep, beating them Friday and Saturday. Saturday they beat them in Macon. So go Ice Flyers. Great news there. Also, the Pensacola Blue Wahoos, not such a great series against the Birmingham Barons. That did drop the last two games on Saturday and Sunday. So they're going to take a day off today. They're going to try again on Tuesday at home against the Rocket City Trash Pandas. Also, I know, legendary name, but also a nice little local twist here, as their manager Jay Bell he went to Tate High School. So local guy coming back. He's the manager of the Trash Pandas. So looking forward to having him back in town. Also, Ron Bauer, the winner of the Preakness. So we'll see what happens at the Belmont, but no more Triple Crown race. So for me, that sort of takes away some of my interest, but I'm still going to watch the Belmont no matter what. And Sam Houston State University. And in case you did not know, or maybe you forgot, that the FCS had played football during the spring, not the fall. And so yesterday was the FCS, it's just the division lower than FBS, which is what Florida and Alabama play in. They played their championship yesterday. It was Sam Houston State against South Dakota State, and it was Sam Houston that won yesterday on a last-minute touchdown throw. Awesome game, actually. All right, that's your quick shot of sports.
Hey, 58 here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Future news, Davis and I tell you what's going to happen before it happens. 30-mile-an-hour Cervantes speed reduction today, supposedly. Will there be fewer pedestrian collisions as a result, even before they get all the median and the chicanes and all that stuff done?
Yes.
I mean, there's not going to be less pedestrians crossing for now, so I guess this is a good thing. Ice Flyers, will we have an event or a parade or anything like that for their championship?
I think they'll be something like the Grand Marshals.
Yeah, they'll probably add it on to Carnival. Yeah, I would think something like that. Will there be any real news with the Matt Gaetz story today with Greenberg and the plea deal and, or the guilty plea and all that?
Say no.
I'm also going to say no. Will the sports betting proposal being started to discussions in the Florida legislature, will that wind up getting approved with the tribe?
It will.
I do think so as well. When will all stores be mask-free? Within a week, 2 weeks? What do you think?
I think within this week.
Yeah. I also think it'll be pretty quickly. With the water tower, 2.5 sides done. When will it be done?
This week.
All the same answers, Davis. This is no good when we all have the same answers. That's okay. Jenna's up next. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening.